Welcome to this podcast.
Water Polo Expert Talk. Get the insights. Welcome back to the Water Polo Expert Talk, and thanks for tuning in again to the next episode. This time I talk to Elvis Fatovic, the current head coach of the Australian men's national team. So we talked about his personal water polo roots in Dubrovnik and how important the first coaches are for the development of each player. So can the Olympic Games take place as usual? What about the importance of water polo in Australia? And what does Elvis think about the German teams in the Champions League? So if you want an answer to all these questions, you should stay here and listen carefully. I wish you a lot of fun listening to Elvis. It's podcast time again, so thanks for joining, Elvis, and really appreciate your time. As mentioned before, we have this time really a big time gap, so 10 hours between the two of us, so good morning in this case.
Good morning again, thanks to having me.
Yeah, so I really appreciate your time and the flexibility to join us today. So maybe at the beginning, as usual, also in the last podcast episodes, I would like to hand it over to you, Levi, for a little introduction of yourself.
Yeah, my name is Elvis Fatovic. I'm the current head coach of Australian men's national team. I was almost all my career, I was a player in water polo club Juk from Dubrovnik, and in 1 year of my career I played in Mladost Zagreb, but all other years I spent in Dubrovnik. And also I play for Croatian national team. After I finished my playing career, I was a junior coach in water polo club Juk for 1 year, coordinator for the development program, and after that I became like a head coach of Juk. On the same time, I was together along with Vjekoslav Kobeščak. We work as assistant coach in the Croatian national team with the legendary Ratko Rudic. And in 2013, I moved to Australia and I became the head coach of the water polo team Australia, where I am right now.
Before we start really talking a little bit of your career and stations or development as a coach or also as a player in the past, maybe you can give us some more information about the current situation also in Australia, because at the moment everything has changed, everything is different at the moment. Maybe you can give us some more information about the situation in your local area.
Well, when we talk about health situation of Australia, it's actually really good. And Australia, for a while, they don't have any new cases, COVID cases. But we must know that, I don't know if you are familiar or not, how Australia was split. So there is a couple of states, and actually it wasn't, no one was able to travel between the states in that meantime. So that means also that for us as a national team, we were last time together in January this year when we played in Brisbane against the American national team. And since then, we didn't have a chance to be together. One of the reasons is COVID. And the other thing is that we have players in Europe, that three players in Europe and one player in New Zealand. And we were not able to be together. But from December, actually end of November, majority of the squad from the players who are in Australia, they moved to Sydney, and hopefully from January we'll have a chance to spend with all players who are not in Europe, to spend more time together. Of course, that some of them, they like one of our players, he lives in Brisbane, and he will be there, but we will try to have at least one camp per month till May, when because we still didn't decide as an organization, but I believe that that will be announced pretty soon how the National League will go ahead, because you know all that prediction before it was everything about how the health situation would be, because as I said, till a week ago we were not able to travel from Sydney to Perth. now the borders are open. But anyway, I believe that most likely the National League will be different than in the past. So most likely will be one tournament somewhere around the Eastern, and between or before that time, some state will have their local competition, and that's the only solution what we have in this situation.
Okay, so it's quite the same situation like in Germany in the last couple of months. So that league is more or less stopped. Every league is stopped, and it's as you mentioned before, you were not able to travel or not able to meet since January, February timeframe. You mentioned the situation that some of your players are not really based in Australia at the moment. So what do you hear from them? Maybe from their local country. At the moment, what is the situation like? Italy, Serbia, Montenegro, I don't know. So yeah. What do you get feedback from them?
Well, I'm very familiar with the situation because I'm following everything what's happening in Europe, in European competitions, and two of them actually play in Spain, in Barcelona. One play in Barcelona, the other one in Mediterranean, and our captain Aaron Younger, he play in Recco. And actually I had a chance to watch them through the live stream games even here in Australia, but I'm familiar with the situation that some games and what's the approach in Europe like. Definitely the competition, especially on the senior level, they're going ahead. I think that the development program suffer a little more because they are not allowed to train in majority of the countries because of the lockdown, and we also know that, you know, from the time to time, if it's some bad situation, some clubs that postpone the game, but that's obviously the approach that Europeans accept, and that going ahead on that way. So next week is the, actually on Monday, is the start of the Champions League, and we will have a chance to watch actually the highest level competition in this moment is in the world.
Yeah. So at least at the moment, it's technical, let's say you are technical aware or able to watch these games instead of the past. So in the past, you was not able to watch any live stream. The clubs or the tournaments are not really streamed live. So this is really a good, development of the media presence of such a tournament like the Champions League, for example. When you have most of your players in Australia and some of them playing in Europe, you mentioned Spain and Italy and Recco, what do you think is a difference from a level of water polo? Is there any difference, or is it better for them to play in Europe and come back to a national team in Australia, or what is the level of the Australian league?
First of all, I want to say this is a little bit unusual situation, because not a little bit, it's a lot for everyone. And we know that, in the normal situation, normal circumstances, like was end of the last year and beginning of this year, we always had a chance to bring our players at least for some certain period. Especially, for example, this year was in January European Championship. So the clubs, they didn't have any kind of obligation. So our players were here from Europe. They were here in December and January. And we use that and we bring a Croatian national team and American national team to train with us. And also we had the plans to travel to Europe in the early April and May. But because all this situation, we couldn't fly anywhere. So that's a really, if it's normal situation, then it's not a problem if they play in Europe, because that club competition where they play, it's the highest level. And that's the best way how you can improve. So we can offer that kind of the competition. And I believe that that's one of the reasons why we actually succeed in the last couple of years to be more competitive and actually to play against anyone. About our national league, it's again, it's completely different, because first of all, our national league usually it's going around 2 months, 2.5 months, let's say somewhere from the late January or beginning of February till the April, around the Easter time, and that's like the time when actually clubs are heavily involved in that, and let's say maybe a couple, maybe months before that, but definitely much, much shorter than European clubs, where season is actually sometimes pretty long, sometimes around 10 months, a long season, especially for the best clubs. So it's completely different. And again, Here the clubs are amateurs, completely amateurs, you know, so and all of the players, or they have some work or they study, so it's absolutely, it's a different approach. I believe that there is a chance to play longer, to be actually more competitive, because in Australia we had also like a couple good foreigners, and definitely in the past, like someone like Obert, who playing now in Juk Dubrovnik, like Bikari, who's playing now in Ferencvaros, you know, and some other players. And even now, we have like a couple good foreigners who actually can give us the quality that is required if you want to improve the players. Because, you know, the players can improve only if they play against better players than they are against some quality players. And that's the best way to improve. But I believe that Australia, even with this situation worldwide, I'm talking about the long term, have that capacity to improve the quality of the National League, which, in my opinion, it's the necessary if you want to have a long term success.
Yeah. And so when you say the most of the players or the league is not really, let's say, professional as it would be in Europe, maybe in Australia. So are there any difference when you came to Australia from a country where it's more or less a professional? Is there any difference? So what was your, let's say, first idea when you came to Australia?
Well, it's a huge difference because, you know, my opinion about the Australian water polo was based on my experience in the games with them. And I really like what I saw that because, you know, Australians were always like fit, mobile, and that's the kind of the game that I like it. But first experience when I come here was something I said, oh, if that happened in Europe, I don't know how long that sport will go ahead, because first training when I come here and was at 5 o'clock in the morning. So if you said to someone, you know, you have to come at 5 o'clock in the morning one day, then I don't know, maybe if it's even in 2 days training, then I said, yeah, maybe. But here that was like a normal, because everyone comes to do a training before their study or their work. So that was the only chance, because during the day they are occupied with some other things. So that was my first experience. So I must be honest, I was really be shocked with that. But I really respecting what how the players sacrifice, because it's not easy, you know, and it's not easy what they're doing. And their theory is very simple. Oh, it's not so simple, easy to wake up at 4 o'clock to be in the pool at 5. But if I done all that sacrifice, I will give my 100%. And I really respect that. And that's something what they're showing on every single game, that approach.
Yeah, so this is maybe some kind the professionalness or the professional way you mentioned before, that it's really not the professional way like in Europe, when you have to go to the training before you start your normal working day. Yeah, so or study or school or university or whatever.
Yeah,
so it's much more different in this case. So when you maybe let's go some steps back maybe at the moment when you start your playing career in Dubrovnik, and maybe I also had the discussion with this Vieco in this case, like it's or his idea and his first impressions how he came to the sports of water polo. Yeah, so it's because when you start or when you're playing water polo in this area, it's much more different as you played maybe in Germany. So also there you have the big difference between the professionalists. How do you come to play to water polo?
I believe it was quite simple because first of all I'm coming from Dubrovnik, actually from Cavtat, one small place like 15 kilometers from Dubrovnik. And I started to train in the beginning of 80s, and on that time, that was the beginning, I believe, on the huge era of that Juk Dubrovnik is even now. Because in 1981, Juk became the first time European champion. And if I want to compare importance of the club in Dubrovnik with some, I would like to compare with Australia. So I probably, you know how Australians are passionate about the rugby. That's the sport, absolutely number one. Everyone talking about that. That's the same things for water polo in Dubrovnik, because, you know, that's the club almost 100 years old and with a lot of success, four-time European champion. But at that time, as a kid, you know, and that was pretty much summer league, which probably it's also significant. that almost every game was a pool was packed, like 4,000 or 5,000 people come to watch, you know, and we talk about a city with 40,000 citizens. So it's, you know, that means that every 10th person was at the pool. So, you know, they become like successful and then they dominate in that time that was Yugoslavia National League. And also in 84, then Yugoslavia won the first Olympic Games then in Los Angeles. And, you know, in that time, that was like the most successful sport. And of course, if that's the main sport in your city, it's a very simple decision. And the place where I'm coming from, it also you have two options. And that one was the brass orchestra and the second one, Whirlpool. I tried both, but I think for the music, it's better that I finish in the other one.
Okay. Yeah, so I it's quite interesting because it's interesting to hear because the situations are totally different between Germany and all these other countries like Montenegro, Serbia, Croatia, and so on. So because as you mentioned, the sports is really covered in the media, and in Germany it's let's say it's football, yeah. It's a football country. Yeah. So in this case, it's very difficult to get kids to the pool to play or think about to playing water polo at least. You mentioned also that you spent some time as the assistant coach together with Vieco.
Right,
Maybe you can give us some more information about that, because I think I was really impressed, to be honest, by the podcast and talk with Vieco.
Yeah.
The first thing come to my mind after the talk was a smart guy. Yeah. So he covers for me the smart thing. So it's very, I don't know. So it's very, very impressive. So maybe you can give us some more information about your work with Vieco and also for Juk, in this case.
First of all, I become very early the head coach of the senior squad in Juk Dubrovnik, which is a huge honor, but it's also very demanding job. And because, you know, in as I mentioned before, like in Dubrovnik, everyone knows water polo, and actually, there's no success if you win. It's only you are not successful if you lose some finals.
Yeah, so which is quite the same situation in Germany when you are a football coach.
Correct. So I'm familiar with that. So it's really difficult. And I become actually the head coach after the only 1 year since I finished my playing career. And, you know, you become the head coach to the players that majority of them played with you. So which is even more difficult. But anyway, that was the challenge that I will always take. But I think that for both of us, couldn't be a better time to spend than what we spent in that 4 years with the Croatian national team with Ratko Rudic, because I didn't have some kind of the mentor, which I believe it's very important to have someone in the beginning of your career, because it's completely different approach when you are a player and to become a coach. You know, you have one vision, but it's completely the same story.
So this would also be a very interesting question, because how do you get the transfer from being a player to being a coach? Yeah. So as you mentioned, most of the players that you played with, I think the last year then in this case, is it easy? Also, you also mentioned that was really a big challenge in this.
Yeah, but it's definitely the challenge. It's not easy, especially because the club requirement and what you want, which is great, you know, because for us, we like to, in that water polo in Dubrovnik, we like to live with that passion of the sport. But definitely wasn't easy. And from this point of view, I will say that definitely I will do now some things different than I done in that time. But that was like a really valuable experience for me. And again, I would like to go back to the national team. And that time spent with Ratko was great, beneficial for us to work and watch from the best one. Because, you know, you could see that it's water polo is not only about the tactic. It's much more other important thing, probably even more important than pure tactic, because the players will recognize what's the best approach for each game. Of course, that you need to give them directions. But I think that was like for both of us such a great period to learn to see what else is important to become a coach.
Okay. Yeah. So when you say there are other things or more important points like the tactics and also all these training stuff, which is maybe Radko giving to you and your other colleagues. What is special on this guy? Yeah, so I'm not really know him personally, but each trainer or each coach you're talking to, it's really the icon is maybe too much, but it's really a person to look for.
Well, my personal opinion is that his psychological approach to every single player, and you know, because let's say in that time when we were in Croatia, we really had like great individuals, but how to become a team, one team who works perfect, that's not so simple, you know, because everyone has their own view and own thinking about some certain situation and who should do something. But he was really great in that, and because for sure it's very complicated to much more complicated to work in the team sport than individual, because you have, especially in water polo, you have like a different 13 different opinions, and he was successful in that way, that he approached probably to each individuals on the different way to get best of them. And I think that's success, because you know, probably not all of us are the most talented, but if we reach our 100%, that's success in the sport. So my opinion, that was the key, and he was really like best that I saw in that part.
Yeah, so you won the gold medal then in London together,
yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, so what is that kind of feeling when you win a gold medal? So at least as a player or also as a coach?
That was like probably the best feeling, you know, that you can have.
I could imagine, yes.
and but you know, I think also it's very important, because I think for that success and that domination of one team on one competition, it's even more important that that year was the January when was the European Championships in Eindhoven, and we play really bad. I think that we finished 9th after we were 2 years before that European champion, and probably then the team and everyone, we find out that we can approach to any competition where we are strong, we need to work hard, and how the approach of the players post that competition was unbelievable, because I don't think that any time before happens that in the whole that summer, when you have World League, some two or three tournaments plus Olympic Games, that some teams win every single game, and that's happened. And I don't think, even because I follow before even Ratko's team when he was successful with the other national teams, like with Italy, with the Yugoslavia in the past. He always, because we also in this period, you know, during the tournament, even during the World League, our team works hard because they know what was the main competition. That was the Olympic Games. So you didn't prepare the team for that World League or for that particular tournament. And I know that was Ratko's approach even before. And I know that in the past, he always sometimes sacrificed some competition to work a little more, and they lost. But that summer in 2012, Croatian team, they won every single game.
Yeah, so which is very impressive in this case, because when you also play so much tournaments, so much games, and then you finished, as you mentioned, the other tournament at the 9th place, and then really able to win the gold medal at the end. So when you finished your active career, are there any plans to be a coach at the end, or somewhere in the future? Do you have any plans to do that? Or because there are also different approaches, as I heard in the last couple of podcasts, because maybe there is already a plan to be a coach at the end, or there's no plan. So I would not like to be a coach, because I saw it from the pool. It's not really my job. So are there any plans from your side?
Actually, there was a plan. So I really always like, I was always dream about that, to be the coach, because I like water polo a lot, obviously. And I was always dream about that. And on this, especially in the last couple of years of my career. And because I think 10 or 11 years also the captain of the team, which we would like to say, like always right hand of the coach. And, you know, I really like to think about a different approach, different things, And I was lucky enough to work with the really with the great coaches in my career, and that was, I think, also very, very helpful for all of us. And also, I studied last couple of years of my career. I studied in the University of the Kinesiology in Zagreb to become a water polo coach, and I finished, I think, one year after I finished my career. So actually, it was a plan. Maybe it wasn't a plan to become like as a senior coach. Close after my water polo career as a player, but you know, to become a coach in Nuuk, it's a great honor, and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, so it's really, as you mentioned, it's more or less also an honor than to be a coach of such a club there. So even if you know that there's a high pressure on that and everybody is looking on you, and as you mentioned, when you do not have any success, then everybody is looking also, and quite stronger maybe. When you're talking that you are really working with great coaches at your or during your career, are there any things or any ideas, with the approach of a water polo, where you say, okay, this is something I get from this coach, which also you transfer to your current coaching situation?
But I believe also that that's depending also of the time, and if we talk just about the senior water polo, or if we talk about development water polo, you know, and definitely it's a different approach. And it's also, we must say that the water polo changed a lot in that time, because since I played, you know, and also if we talk about beginning of my career as a senior player, in the end, it's completely different sport. So I tried probably to pick up like the best from most of them. And also I believe that every coach have his own view of the water polo style that he would like to see from his teams. And I also trying, and of course, I believe it's also very important to know what kind of roster you have, what you can do, you know, because it's not the same approach when you have like all like set up in the team with the great left-handers, great center forward, center back, you know, goalkeeper. So it's definitely different. Even if you want to talk like, because when you want to compare before, like how is the comparison with someone in Europe, like Croatian team or some other Italian, Hungarian or Australian team. And then, you know, we know they have a lot of games and we don't have a lot of games. So probably for the same competition, we will have completely different approach, because they will do maybe on the way that they will try to decrease number of the games, maybe to have some recovery trainings and to prepare them more physically and emotionally, because they are like, you know, quite often happening that in Europe that the peak of the peak competition is in June, and then already in the end of the June or July you have the national team obligation. So which is very difficult for the players. For us it's different approach, because we need completely different, you know, we need more number of the games, especially against the best one, in order to improve. So I believe that all those things that we pick up from the coaches, definitely some technical things, which is very important, but tactically I think that all of us have a different approach and different view of this game.
Yeah, so and when you mentioned the tournaments or the training sessions, or also training weekends or training weeks with other national teams, it's more important than in this case, and it's more really a worse situation at the moment that this kind of training sessions are not really could happen in this case, yeah? So that you are not able to really compare and train with other national teams, other clubs or whatever, to really develop your players.
That's true. That's really an unusual situation, and especially for us, because of the distance, you know. And as I can see in Europe, they had from time to time even some national team, not tournaments, but maybe the training games, and clubs they play all the time. So definitely they have that kind of advantage compared to us. But we will try, you know, and I will really try to be positive on the way that I really hoping that we will have a chance maybe in May, in June, to play with someone, because it's still in the calendar, even World League going ahead in the end of June, and probably even that World League Intercontinental Tournament should be in May. So we'll see, depending, of course, of the situation. That's the most important thing. But we will try to be creative. That will not be the chance, you know. Then we will try to create our training environment that we'll try to play with a different style, what some maybe other teams trying to play in order to come best prepared for the Olympic as we can be.
The most important point is, as you mentioned, to be creative in this kind of situation, because when you are not really creative, you have not really the chance to do anything because it's not really a usual situation at the moment. So maybe you can give us maybe a little bit idea of your daily work, let's say that way. So as a national head coach, so you have maybe an other working environment as a club coach. Yeah. So is it so where's the difference from your point of view, because between a club coach and your current situation as a head coach of a national team?
It's a huge difference on the way that in Australia is also different than in the other countries, because in Australia you have the clubs, and as I mentioned, more or less, let's say that they're active from somewhere like November, December till approximately April. And the rest of the time, the clubs on the senior level, they are not so active. But in each state in Australia, you have institutes, and the best players from that state, they train in that institute. And let's say that happened like approximately three times per week. They train with the institutes and also with the clubs, probably the same number of the sessions. But now it's because of all this situation, it's a little bit different. So we try to bring all the players to Sydney who are like in the mm-hmm. in the roster for the Olympic Games in Tokyo. And we're trying to have them more time together, because that's the only way how we can do something. Because otherwise, if we have in Sydney, which is New South Wales, like 5-6 players, then 3-4 in Western Australia, and then if we'll meet together in May, June, absolutely will not have enough time for anything. So the idea is to spend on that way till the April, when probably will be the final of the National League. So we're trying to be like approximately, let's say, 4 to 5 times per week together in the pool, plus some club sessions. But from the May, we will try to spend almost all time together, of course, with some short breaks, but we will try on that way. And of course, we, as probably as everyone else, we have a A, B, C, D, E program and a plan, but we're looking on the next one, you know, because everything depending on the situations. And definitely we have both options based on that we will be in Australia all the time till Tokyo, or maybe also that we'll be able to go to Europe. So we already have some plans, but of course it's not only about us what we'll be able to do.
So I think when I understand it correctly, is you have really two or more special situations in Australia because of the size of the country, because you have really the players spread around all over the country, and then in addition to that you have also a very short period of time where they play the league, and this is really much more a different situation as you have in Europe as a club coach in this case. So how does it mean, or so what does it mean for your daily business? So what is your daily work like?
But the daily work is I would say that till the January now, when we finally, as I mentioned, in November, we bring like a majority of the players here. And what we try to achieve in this period, probably till January, will be to bring back all that habits what we had as a team. Because, you know, that's a long period that if you played last one in January till November, it's a pretty long period. no matter if, you know, because even in the beginning of the COVID situation, when it was a lockdown, we tried to share with the players all the our things from the previous competitions, you know, what was good, what was wrong, what we want to improve. But, you know, it's one thing when you're watching that, and, you know, again with a long period of the of not training together, we're trying to bring that habits back. And since then, from the January, definitely we will try to improve, to add some new things in our water polo style. And definitely a little bit try to not to analyze, because we have all these things as everyone about the other teams, but just try to play against the different styles, because obviously at least in this short period of time for the next 2-3 months, for sure we will not be able to bring anyone or to go somewhere to play. So we will try to do that, and pretty much from January, let's say that we'll be 5 days in a week will be together, probably because of their obligation to have a one session per week. But I believe if we talk about the conditioning part, I believe that we will come definitely fit to Tokyo, and we will try, as I said, we will try to do our best things, you know, how to, even to challenge our boys, you know, with a different, because we also bring some other players here, because, you know, we don't want to, such a comfortable situation that everyone feels safe. Yeah. So we want to really be, really to challenge the group in order to do the best things in this particular moment.
Yeah. So when you say you bring also new players to the training camp, training weeks, where you are based, then how does the development of young players works in Australia? So maybe also, do you see also here so big difference between Australia or Europe? So because I think you are really aware of both situations in this case.
It's huge different. It's huge different, and even probably bigger difference in the development program than in the senior program. And we are really looking how to improve those things because, you know, the kids here, they have a lot of obligations, not only in one sport, you know, because as I, for example, I'm coming and I have different background because we're coming from the area where you choose one sport and you stick for that sport, you know, till you are successful or not. Here, the kids, they play one sport, but also they have other obligation in the school to play another sport, you know. So actually, the approach is completely different when the kids then deciding when they are 15 or 16, what's the sport that they prefer. So we know that in Europe, they will push back and start each sport to play earlier. Before was like the first competition when you are 14. Now they have under 10, under 12. So it's a huge difference. And also in this last couple of months, they also have a lot of problems especially because the borders were closed. So, you know, they tried to organize some training camps for the development category for under 14, 16, 18. But because of all this situation, the borders were closed. That was impossible. So the next one idea is to have for the first time since last year, I would say, to have something in January. Hopefully that will go ahead. But the other things is that properly we should improve here. And I think it's not the problem only in Australia. I think it's generally a problem worldwide that, the best coaches for me, I don't talk now about the coaches on the senior level who is working with the national team or with the best clubs in Europe. But I think that the best coaches should work with the younger generation to develop their skill in order to have a quality product that you can do something when they are 17, 18. Because and I know that even in Europe, you know, sometimes, you know, no one wants to work with the 12 or 14 because that doesn't look like good in their CV. But my opinion, and if you ask me, and again, back to your question about the coaches, I think that coaches are probably one of the most important, if not the most important in development of our career.
Yeah. Yeah. So which goes also in the same direction as the feedback from some other guests in the podcast. They say, okay, the most important point is really to work with the kids. And it looks maybe not really so important at the end or on the first glance, and also not very fancy, but it's the most important point because then you really, give them the basics. Yeah. So this is then really the basics to develop as a player, as a human, and then really maybe have the chance to go to the first league or senior level or whatever. Yeah, so it's not really, as you mentioned, the best job for some people, but it's for the most people also the most important job at the beginning.
But definitely, but I think it's not only that coming from the coaching side. I believe that also should come from the clubs or the national team side that, you know, they must show also to everyone how much they respect that job. You know, because if someone puts go work with that under 12 and you know that's not good, you know. So my opinion, that's definitely something that everyone, because honestly, if you want to ask me, I would say that that the quality and the skill of the players for me in the last couple of years didn't improve so much, which shouldn't be a situation.
Yeah, so which is also really based, or yeah, also could be a reason for the situation that, as you mentioned, they are so the kids today have so many options, many things around water polo or at least one sports to concentrate on.
But it's also obvious that some countries that probably invest more time on the development, and probably they are forced to do that because of various reasons. But I would like to say someone like Spain, someone like Greece, it was obvious, that they invest a little more time in that, and they produce probably more players than someone else at this stage.
Yeah, so this is an interesting question, because we have so many kids, so many people in Germany, and so we are not able to, let's say, produce a national team which is competitive to the rest. Yeah. So we are on a good way, but I think we also have you could get the impression that also the basics or the second squad is really not available at the moment, so that there's nothing coming up.
Yeah, but I believe it's not a short process. That's the long process, from the beginning of development till develop quality player who will be capable to develop quality results with the club and the national team. And I also personally believe that that things that you have, like the two clubs who compete now in the Champions League, could have like a great impact on that development, because you will have more competitive national league. Yep. and the players will play better games, and especially they play also in the Champions League. So I think all those small things will bring to the like a long-term success if the things are right.
Because in Germany we have the situation that two clubs, or let's say two corporations, are at the moment running. Yeah, so because we have Waspo and White Sharks, and we have Spandau and Potsdam, for example. And when you're looking on the clubs of the players in the national team, so this corporation works right now. Yeah, so you have really the impression that this kind of way or method to develop a team, and also the players, and develop the players and give them the chance to play, for example, in the team like Waspo or Spandau, playing in the Champions League, and also then going back to the second team, where you can also play for, and then really play a totally different role, and develop yourself.
But definitely, and I believe that you can see that in the end, Spandau was, I think, 2-3 years ago, they were on the final eight. Hanover is because they host the competition. They host that final eight as well, and they play there. So they already have their spot for the next June. So Spandau, I believe, they will be also very competitive. But I think that you can see that also even with the national team. So we know that last year in Korea, on the World Champs, that German team wasn't too far from the semifinal. They play really well, and they play well in it. But that's it's also a long process, and I can say from my side, from our team, and I know how that development us as a group looked like the first couple of years, that we were always very, very close, but whenever it was is that the penalty shootout, is that overtime, we lost. But now like on the same competition, we beat some great teams in that overtime in the tight game. So I believe that's the long process from to be close to become better.
Yeah. So in this case, it's really then the kind of development. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so you have to. Yeah. You have to attend or to get these to live these situations and be faced with these situations, and then to get the ability to really to develop yourself. Yeah. Based on these maybe negative situations. Yeah. And make them or change the negative things to the positive things.
Absolutely.
Over the time. Yeah. So when you say based on your answers, I would imagine that you really cover or watching also worldwide water polo games, also the European Final Eight and Champions League games. You mentioned that Waspo is really also hosting the Final Eight next year, hopefully, when we're able to host it. What do you think about the development of the German teams like Waspo and Spandau? So Spandau is not really a newcomer, but the development of Waspo maybe. So because it's really changed the landscape of water polo in Germany somehow?
I can say my opinion that WASPO is the best thing that could happen to Spandau. Because, you know,
Because of the competition.
Because of the competition, you know, when you become too comfortable, then and you you easily win the competition, a local competition, and local national competition, then you don't trying to improve yourself so hard. On this way, which WASPO become more and more competitive every single year, and then in the end we saw that this year WASPO won the National League, Spandau won the Cup, and that's the best thing for the national team could happen, that you have like a great competitive players, quality foreigners, and I think that's the great things. And you know, I believe that the only what you can hope that maybe some other teams will come close to them, and then to have even more teams. So I believe that it's one good example is the French National League, which happened actually over the night. They bring like a couple of quality players in their clubs, and now you have one club in the Champions League and three clubs in the best 16 of the Europa Cup, which they never had before. And I think all those things will have impact of the national team as well.
Yeah, so when you also following the European countries and also the German League and Super Cup and so on, are there any, communication, collaboration also with the German coaches? So like Hagen Stammer, for example?
Yeah, actually, most likely, unfortunately, we will not be able to come to Germany in the end of January and beginning of February. We had that agreement with to train together to play the tournament, and we have really great connections. So we were like a couple times hosted by a German national team, and we played with them even 2 years ago when we played the World Cup in Berlin. We trained together, so we really have a great communication. And hopefully, if German team qualify for the Tokyo, that we will be able to host them here in Australia. but I must be honest that I'm really respecting what Hagen's doing. First, he was one of the players, I can't say idol, but the player that I respect a lot, because that was beginning of my career and probably end of his. Because Jürgen Spandau, they have Alfred Franjo Ballen tournament, like four teams they play every single year. So that was beginning of my international experience as a player, probably end for Hagen. But I really enjoyed to watch him at that time. But what I like with the German team, because probably something I can see some similarity with our team, that he try to adjust the style of the game depending of the opponent. And they really become very competitive, and they played great water polo in Korea. And we know that they were very close to beat Croatia, really close to beat Serbia, and that means something.
Yeah. So it was very hard to watch on the live stream in these days. Yeah. Because when you see that and think, okay, why the hell is he shooting right now, or not shooting, or it's terrible at the moment. So you mentioned also the Olympic Games in Tokyo next year. So do you think the Olympic Games will happen?
I'm very optimistic, and through the information what I receive here, that will go ahead. So that will go ahead. Probably it's hard to say how that looks like. Probably the bubbles will be required before that, and to come also to Tokyo to be in the bubble. I'm not so sure. Probably that will gonna change same as our plans, A, B, C, D, or more. So, but in the end of the day, we have so many competitions now on the different level. Let's say in Europe, in all professional competitions going ahead. Everyone, I was privileged to have a lot of time in the European American summer to watch NBA and how they organized that, and how that competition go ahead without the spectators. That was amazing, and that it's still, we have a plenty of time till then. So I'm very optimistic that Olympics will go ahead, and I'm just hoping that all this situation will go in our favor, and that we'll be able to play optimistic as used to be. Not without spectators, like, you know, that with the spectators, yeah. But I think it's still plenty of time. I know it's so far from ideal situation, especially now in Europe. But I believe till then that situation will be much better. But I'm very optimistic about that.
Yeah. So I think basically the Olympic Games will happen. So as you mentioned, it's really a question of how will the Olympic Games then be organized, or without, or with any audiences or not. So it's really different then. So because I think you attend two times the Olympic Games, right?
Yeah, two times as a player, yeah. Then one as an assistant coach, once as a head coach.
Okay, so yeah. Basically four times. So yeah. Maybe are there also in this case, are there any difference between the Olympic Games attending as a coach and also as a player?
I will say there's nothing in common. There's nothing. Okay. There's nothing common because, you know, as a player, you come there to play the games, to be focused on the next training, and that's the only focus for you.
That's it.
And actually, for the coaches, probably is the more job between the games, when you have to analyze your game, your style, when you have to analyze next opponent, and and it's really, really nothing changed much compared to the other competitions. But you know, that's absolutely definitely, as in every story, it's there's no comparison between the players and the coach. It's different completely approach to all those things. But it's always like a pleasure to be at the Olympics, to be in that sports environment where all the best athletes of the world are in the one city.
Yeah. So I talked to many guests here in the podcast also about their attendance in the Olympic Games, and they say, okay, the first times it's like a movie, more or less. Yeah, because when you see Kobe Bryant or some whatever star is walking belongs you, and it's not really so real, or you can imagine that. So it's like a movie. And the second time you are more, let's say, more relaxed, and you can really focus you on your game, on your task. Yeah. So really like a movie. Yeah. So it's really strange.
I agree on the way that probably everyone dreaming, because, you know, the competition is probably the same as the world champs and some other. But, you know, that's for sure. That's the peak for every athlete. The peak is Olympic, to play the Olympic Games. But, you know, definitely the most important thing is that that your goal is not only to be at the Olympic Games, that you want to be competitive at the Olympic Games. That's, for me, the most important thing. And that should be our approach. And that's probably, again, the biggest difference when you're going the first time or the second time or the first week, second week. Because, you know, when you talk about the Olympic Village sounds from the side, that's something amazing. But in the end, actually, it's quite boring, you know. And third day, you are familiar already with everything, and you can't go anywhere else. So and then you can be really fully focused on your goal. And I believe that even for the athletes who were not on the Olympic Games, that the last world champs in Korea was pretty much set up was pretty much like that. Everyone stay in one. It was an Olympic Village. It was whatever they call that, but we stay in one building blocks, and there was only one restaurant when all the athletes were able to eat. So that was actually good preparation for everyone who wasn't at the Olympic Games before.
Yeah, so it's more an event, or also some kind of network option instead of it's only a tournament where you play your games and analyze as a coach your games and prepare for the next game. It's also more like a networking event somehow. Yeah, so because some other guests in the podcast saying, okay, it's really a benefit you are really have after your active career where you can benefit from your network, which you are building during your career as a player.
That's for sure. But again, you know, I believe just the coaching staff and the players, they're focused on one thing. So probably for the other people is networking, and probably that experience that you have the staff and the players who were there is helpful, because it is a little bit different than the other competitions.
Yeah. So in this case, I have another question regarding your staff or your team or your trainer team. So how important is this trainer team for you? So not only in the daily work or on the normal coaching work, because also maybe during a tournament like the World Championship or Olympic Games, for example.
I think it's very important and crucial as for the coach, the same things for the players. because I think that consistency is very important. Because you know, when we talk about the different, we talk about the physio, video analysis, assistant coach, goalkeeper coach, conditioning coach. You know, when all of them, they know what's the requirement from the other ones, then it's very simple. You don't need to ask something twice to repeat, please, can you do this and that? Because everyone can know in advance what's the requirement for the next task. So I think that's very important. And I'm really happy with my staff that we're really working really, really well. And also the coaching staff that I have here when we work in Sydney, it's great and very supportive, and the most important that we are familiar with everything. So no matter if even if I'm as a head coach not at the pool, they will know exactly what to do.
So, and when you say the trainer team is so important, because when you prepare for the next game, so how does it look like? So what kind of preparation do you do before you have your next game? So analysis, what is these kind of work look like?
Definitely, I believe that I analyze opponents a lot, and I try to find what's working well against them, or what's actually it's opposite. So, and we analyze a lot, but I believe that pretty much a lot of work is done before the competition starts. So you have all information about every single team, every single player, you know, what's their preference, and you try, of course, to do that something that works for your team. And definitely before the every single game, just try to send the simplest message as we can, because if we come with too many new messages, that can be just a mess. And we're trying to simplify as we can. But I believe that also the players are important in all of that, and their approach to all of that, because they also analyze a lot, and also they can sometimes recognize the situation in the next game. And again, how is important that coaching and generally staff is that, for example, my daily routine is day before the game, I never going on the training with the players on the morning session, because then I'm doing we analyze the thing, I'm analyzing the things, but rest of my staff, they exactly know what to do. So that's pretty much routine, and then we analyze with the team day before. We analyze with the team the opponent, with coming with the most important information, and then the game. Hopefully, all these tactics will work.
Okay, so and hopefully it works. And when it's maybe not so much working well, what do you say in the breaks? Is it also, as we mentioned before, keep it simple, simple messages, one or two sentences, and then keep breathing and let's go ahead? Or
well, definitely we try to send the message what's not working. For example, if the plan A doesn't work, but it's also could be like quite simple things that, for example, we can't score, but in the end, when we find out why we can't score, because we didn't shoot in the cage. So we just, that's really simple message like that, you know. Yeah. Sometimes maybe you over respect someone, and that's something that absolutely I believe that we as a team don't have, because you know we try just to be focused on our absolute to respect everyone. Because for example, we are not the team that we can disrespect someone, because then we will not have chance with them. But also we can't over respect anyone, because I believe that we can play with anyone at this stage. And if we have that approach that we are focused on our things, not on their quality, then we absolutely can beat anyone in the world.
Yes, you have to follow your game plan.
Correct.
Right? Yeah. So what are the next things in your schedule coming up right now? Any tournaments, any games, any things happen during the next couple of months?
You want to plan C or E?
B.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Okay. So
it's your choice.
Yeah. So we will have one more camp here, like 5 days camp in Sydney with the players who are in the Sydney at this stage. But from January, we're starting with some different program, because we've done some restructure of the program here in Australia, and we'll start with something different. When, as I mentioned, we will have the players let's say 4 or 5 days per week they will be with us, like for one session. The other rest of the day they have to work. And we will have from the most likely from the end of the January we'll have a like local competition, which will be one game per week, which will allow us to train quality till then. And if everything will be according to some plans, then most likely the National League will go ahead as a one tournament, and that will be in the end of the March, beginning of April. Since then, we're planning to spend, especially from May, we're planning to spend more times together. And is that going to happen to be in Australia, or will be able to go somewhere else? I can't say now, but we absolutely have both plans. And because at this stage, we, in our calendar, in May is a World League Intercontinental Cup, which is a qualification for the World League for non-European teams. But and that's supposed to be in United States in May, but I don't know if that's going to go ahead or not. But that's pretty much the plan. Let's say that from the May, we will spend much more time as a team together. And of course, depending where the three players from Europe will be able to come, because I believe Aaron with his squad, the Reco, for sure he should be in Hanover in the beginning of June. So most likely we'll not see Aaron before middle of June.
And so he has a date in Hanover, hopefully.
hopefully. Another one. I think first one for him was very successful. He became European champion with Ferencváros. So we'll see. Maybe that's the lucky place for him. And two other players, they're playing in Barcelona, and depending how far they will go in the National League of Spain and also how far they will go in the Europa Cup.
Yeah, so in this case, I'm really thankful for your time today. Really appreciate your time. My evening, your morning. So you have the day in front of you. So maybe you have the chance to go to the beach. I don't know. So are you really far away from the beach?
I'll do my best. It's not far. It's 5 minutes walk.
Okay. Yeah, you're a lucky one.
You didn't say that 5-6 months ago when everybody joined there. But thank you for your time and to having me. And I really respecting the things when someone promotes the word polo on this way. And I think this is something what we as a sport generally missing.
Absolutely. So this was basically the plan or the idea when I thinking about some kind of format for this kind of things.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I wish you all the best. So stay healthy. Also with you and your family. So I hope the plan A works next year, and we are able to meet somewhere in Germany. I don't know, in Berlin, in Hanover. Maybe.
Yeah.
Who knows it?
I agree. Thanks once again, and hopefully see you on some pool. Is that going to be in Germany or somewhere close to the beach next to my beach? We'll see.
when I have the chance to travel to Australia, maybe then I give you a call.
Absolutely. You'll be my guest.
Okay, good to hear. So thanks for your time again, and see you soon.
See you. Sleep well.
Yeah, thank you, and have a good day.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Elvis, for the very exciting conversation during our podcast, and I wish you and your team all the best, and stay healthy also in the future. I hope our listeners have a lot of fun listening to us and could take some exciting information. We will go live again last time this year on next Sunday at 6 p.m. on Facebook and YouTube, so make sure you follow the Facebook feed and tune in. Until then, stay safe and healthy and enjoy the Christmas season as best as possible. So best greetings from Hanover.